You'll note also in the bulletin a sermon notes page, so just have that handy. The sermon notes page for the evening, which I mentioned will be for this morning. So we continue a series of sermons on our God, who He is and what He's like, His attributes, His characteristics, His perfections, as some theologians describe, and want to meditate upon God's immutability this morning with you. So Hebrews chapter number 13. We want to focus our hearts especially upon verse number 8, but let us begin reading at verse number 1. Actually, let's begin in chapter 12 at verse number 28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So far, God's holy and His wonderful word. And may He write those words upon our hearts this morning. While studying the attributes of God, His characteristics, His perfections, what He is like, it's like a child learning to play with building blocks, with little ABCs or little pictures of animals or 1, 2, 3s on those blocks, learning to manipulate those blocks, to build them even into little castles and little houses and walls, teaching them shape and space and size and weight, to use their fingers and imaginations. And to do that, learning to grow up and to learn how to develop even bigger skills for eventual life. You can imagine little children playing with blocks and doing a good job at that, eventually learning how to build a sandcastle and maybe even at one point building their own home or a large structure. And so building blocks are the beginning. They are a foundation level toy that children need to learn to grow up. In the same way, for us as God's children, He wants us to learn and to grow and to have a basic foundation for our faith. And one aspect of that is the very nature of God Himself, who God is. We confess that we are His children. We say that we belong to Him. We say that we love Him. He's our Father, and His Son is our elder brother, Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit in our hearts crying out in us and through us, Abba, Father. And so as God's children, we too need to learn how we can grow and develop in our spiritual walk with Him. And knowing who He is, not just in a blanket statement or just in a generic way, I know God, I love God, but that we would know who He is and what He's like. And the way that we do that traditionally is to speak of God's attributes. Not that God can be divided up into little blocks. One block is His love and one block is His immutability and so forth. But that we, for our own weak sakes, we can think of God like this and we can sort of divide up our thoughts about Him. We can then build those little blocks about God and have a firm foundation for our faith. And so theology, the study of God, is not a thing that is only for some or for few who are very privileged to learn and to think and to meditate upon God, but theology is for all of God's people. It's the very pulse beat of our godliness, the very heartbeat of our faith, to know God and to know who He is and what He's like, and for us who He is. So notice this passage before us, Hebrews 13:8. It's just one more little building block as we think about God, our immutable God. And it's a beautiful promise, isn't it? It's not just a doctrine. It's not only a phrase that we give or that we write out or that we memorize as we teach our children, that we somehow can use in refuting false religions. But this is a promise to us. God's nature, notice, His attribute of immutability is stated to us in a very personal promise. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And that promise stands out, doesn't it? It stands out because you notice the context of what He says just above that in verse number 7. He writes to us, exhorting us to remember our leaders, those who preach to us the Word of God. Imitate their faith. Look at their outcome of their lives. Consider them. Follow them. Be led by them. But we are just mere men. We are changeable people. We are sinners too. We have ups and downs of faith. We have ups and downs in life. We are struggling as well with our sanctification as much as the rest of anyone. And it's in the context of telling us to remember our leaders, those who preach to us the Word of God, those sinful men, that He says, don't ever forget Jesus Christ. Although the pastor is not the same today, yesterday, and forever, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Although the preacher's faith might go up and down, Jesus Christ is the same. Although He might be more excitable one week and less so the next, Christ is the same. Although He might say the right things to me when I need to hear them and where I need to hear them, but maybe the next time He doesn't say it so tactfully, so gently, Christ is the same. Although we are to look to our leaders' faith as examples for us, and although we as leaders fail miserably in doing that, Jesus Christ is the same. And so notice that promise as it illustrates for us the immutability of God. I want to just focus our hearts upon two big questions, and I'll have a few things to say about each one. You can notice your outline. What does it mean that God is immutable? And how does that benefit us? What does it mean that God is immutable? And how does that knowledge benefit my heart and life? May the Holy Spirit guide us into that very thing today. So what does it mean that God is immutable? Well, our passage describes Christ as immutable. Jesus Christ as the Son of the Father, therefore, if He's the same yesterday, today, forever, as the Son of God, the Father is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they together in unity with the Holy Spirit, who is described in Hebrews 9 as the eternal Spirit, the Spirit as well as the same yesterday, today, and forever, our triune God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. But the writer mentions only Christ because it is He that we cling to and that we can know. And if I know that Christ is the same, I know the Father is the same and the Spirit is the same. But what does it mean that He's the same yesterday, today, forever? Well, to say that something is mutable is to say that it is changeable. Think of yourself. How many times did your attitude change this morning? Happiness, frustration. How many times did your appetite change this morning? You wanted to eat that when you woke up, but you changed your mind wanting to eat this. Or maybe more personally to the women, your desire in clothing. Did it change this morning when you first woke up to what you're wearing now? Or anything else like that? How often, just today, Have you already changed your mind, your attitude, the words you've spoken, the way you feel, the way you look? We are changeable people. We are mutable. But God is not. Although we undergo many emotional changes and mental changes, physical changes, spiritual changes in our lives, God does not. He is immutable. He is unchangeable. The prophet Malachi, for example, proclaims this very truth, the very simplest of truths, telling us this in Malachi 3, I am the Lord, I change not. I change not. But we all know from English class that you can't define the word by using the word. Well, immutable means doesn't change, but what more does it mean? How can I understand this without more than just a bare statement of fact? Well, God wants us to have a pictorial way of grasping it. Not just a definition on paper, like many of us grew up learning and writing out, but He wants us to think of this in pictorial ways. And God lays out for us in His Word many different examples of God's unchangeableness. Our passage is one example. Notice and think about what this is saying. Yesterday, today, forever. Yesterday I felt one way. Today I feel another way. What am I going to feel like tomorrow? Yesterday I looked a certain way. Today I look a certain way. Tomorrow. But Jesus Christ is the same. Throughout all my changes, there He is constant. Yesterday, today, forever. Yesterday I did not feel good at all. Today I feel a little bit better. Maybe tomorrow a little bit more. But Christ is the same. One more example. Notice with me in Psalm 102. If you turn to Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. The psalmist prays and praises God for His unchangeableness. And he uses the illustration, notice, of the world around us, but in particular clothes. Like a cloak, he says. Of old, You laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You will remain. Now notice how he illustrates that. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But You are the same, and Your years have no end. The world, which to us seems eternal, which to us seems unchangeable, it seems so vast and so large and so infinite, that world is like a garment. It's like this dusty old robe that I wear, and God Himself will one day take it and He will clump it all together. He will put it into a pile and He will throw it away, so to speak. That's how changeable, that's how frail and how finite the world is. But God is the same. Imagine that. The universe is like a cloak. It's like a shirt that gets old. It gets dusty. It's dirty. It gets holes in it. The universe is that way. God, though, the same. His years have no end. He is eternal. He is immutable, unchangeable, everlasting. Everything else comes to an end. Well, God, humanly speaking, is only just beginning when those things come to an end. Everything that exists sprouts up, and then eventually it all falls down in death. But God remains. Just like our clothes, they wear out. But God Himself never does. We get weary, God does not. One more example. Notice in the book of James, just one verse, the book of James, chapter number 1, verse 17. He says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change or shadow of turning. Now, it doesn't come out so well in English, but the terms that James is using here, the imagery of them is the sundial. We don't use sundials. We see them in gardens as antiques or as decorative artifacts. But a sundial, a clay sundial, of course, there it is. It's fixed. It's firm. It doesn't move itself. What moves is the sun. And the light cast upon that little piece of clay, causing a shadow on that side, and the shadow moves around, and we can tell what time it is. God is not changeable. God is the thing that is fixed. God is the thing that is immovable. While everything else around changes, there is God. That's what James is saying. God is a thing that does not have any shadow of turning around that sundial. While we change, while the times change, the seasons change, the world changes, there is God. And the promise of that, of course, is because He's the one who continually showers down upon us every last breath we breathe, every last drop we drink, every last crumb we digest. He's the same, sending it down to us from heaven. Now just for a moment, think about this. Just to delve a little deeper, to think of God's unchangeableness, His immutability. Well, how is He unchangeable? In what ways is He immutable? Let me just mention two very briefly. But God is immutable in His essence. God is immutable in His essence. This means that what He was yesterday, He is today, and He will be tomorrow. It means that His nature, His being God, does not change in any way whatsoever at all. Who He is who He is. That's why He can describe Himself in the Scriptures as, I am who I am. He is today what He was yesterday, and He will be tomorrow what He was yesterday and what He is now. He's immutable in His essence. The brilliant medieval theologian Anselm of Canterbury once wrote this to illustrate this point. He said, all that God is, He has always been. And all that He has been and is, He ever will be. He doesn't change. He doesn't get greater. He doesn't get lesser. God doesn't learn new facts. God doesn't forget those facts. God doesn't change His attitude, His heart, His disposition, His plans, His purposes. And so He is unchangeable in His essence, who He is, rock solid and stable. And He's also immutable in His attributes. Everything about God is unchangeable. For example, God's truth is unchangeable. His truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was no more true yesterday than He is today, and He will be no more true tomorrow than He is right now. He's eternally and immutably true and true. His love is immutable. His love was no more yesterday towards you than it is today, and it will be no more or no less tomorrow. His love, unlike ours, does not ebb and flow. It doesn't get hotter or colder, go up or down, be deeper or less affectionate. He's loved us with an everlasting love, He tells us in His Word. His love endures unto all generations. So God is unchangeable. He's like the sundial that does not move. He's the thing that wads up the universe like a garment, and He remains. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what about those Bible verses that say God changes His mind? Genesis 6:6, God repents, we're told. God repented of his making man. He was sorry for having made them. What about those kinds of verses? Well, that's important for us as well to understand. God's counsel stands forever. God is not a man that he should lie and change like us. But what about those verses that say he changes? He repents. Here's the key. It's easy for us to read those verses and think that God has changed and somehow that applies to me, that he's going to change his mind about me. But what we need to know is this. That how we, as temporal creatures, experience the grace, the love, the forgiveness of God. While he remains the same, how we feel about those things change. The world around us changes, whether we are on a tropical beach in Maui or whether we are in war-torn Somalia. We perceive that God has changed because of our surroundings. Or whether we are feeling very close to God because we are in sweet fellowship with him in prayer. Or whether we feel distant from him because we've not even prayed for months. It's not that God has changed, but it seems to us that he's changed because of our surroundings and because of our sins. And so when God says he repented, he was sorry that he had made the world, he was not saying that he changed his mind, but that the world as it experienced God, the God who made the world, who lavished life upon it, and now the world had plummeted. It felt, it looked like, it seemed as if God's mind changed when the first drop of the flood hit the ground. His promise that was to us, he's the same. But what does that mean for us? What does it benefit us to know that God remains? That God is the same. That God is yesterday, today, forever, for me, in Christ, my God and my Father. Well, let me just mention a few. First is this, is that because God is immutable, I can rely upon him. Because God is immutable, I can rely upon him. Children, just think for a moment with me about something that you see every single day that seems like it never changes. What do you see every single day that doesn't move, doesn't change colors, doesn't change its mind, doesn't get bigger, doesn't get smaller? What do you see every day that just is what it is? And you can put it out on your front porch today and see it tomorrow and the next day, and it will be the same exact thing every single day. But let me give you the answer to that. If you turn your Bible with me to Psalm number 62, we see a beautiful illustration of the reliability of God. Because he is unchangeable. And the way that the psalmist describes his unchangeableness is to say this. Notice in Psalm 62, verse 1, "For God alone my soul waits in silence." Why? "From him comes my salvation." Now notice how David, the writer, illustrates the immutability of God, the reliability of God, and his salvation. "He alone is my rock. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." And again in verse 7, notice, "On God rests my salvation and my glory." Why? "He's my mighty rock. My refuge is God." Children, God is like a rock. Not because he's dead or lifeless or can't feel, but because he's firm. He's strong. He's reliable. And that's why he goes on to say this to us. He tells us that while he doesn't change and he's stable and firm, he tells us in verse 8, "Trust in him. At all times, O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." your immutable, unchangeable God, brothers and sisters, who does not change, who's like a strong, immovable rock, tells you to come to Him and lean upon Him, rely upon Him, lay upon Him, cry out to Him in prayer. When your world is up and down, when whatever it might be, we can rely upon Him. My job, my work, it's up, it's down. God is a refuge for me, we are told. You can rely upon Him. You can lean upon Him for strength. When our relationships are restrained and they're up and they're down and they're in and they're out, we can rely upon God. He's firm. When I doubt God's plan in my seemingly chaotic life, there's God like a rock. And there's me holding on to that rock and all the waves of the world crashing upon my backside. But there's God. One hymn puts it like this. O Lord, my heart is sick, sick of this everlasting change. And life runs tediously quick through its unresting race and varied range. Change finds no likeness to itself in thee and wakes no echo in thy mute eternity. The world changes, God doesn't. While we get sick and tired of the change, we have God. Because He's immutable, so is my salvation, secondly. Because God is unchangeable, my salvation is unchangeable. It's not just He's there for me to cope in struggle, but He's there for me, for my soul. Again, Psalm 62. God is my rock and my salvation. Psalm 95 later says it like this, that God is the rock of our salvation. He's the thing that is so firm and so fixed that when I doubt my salvation, it's God who's there. When I wonder whether or not His promises can be true, it's God who's the same. It's God who's promised. It's God who's kept the promises. When I feel like my feet are in the miry clay, the bog of sin, He has put my feet upon a rock, and that rock is Christ. But I sin so much, Pastor. My feet are feeling like they're in quicksand. I can't get out. Yes, you sin, and yes, you will continue to sin until the day you die. But despite your sins, the Word of God promises that for sinners who put their hope in Christ, God's covenant of peace is not removed from us. Because God has not changed, those who trust in Christ will not be destroyed. His remnant is according to grace, and His judgments cannot blot that out. Do you have that confidence in God today? When you doubt, do you have this firm confidence that your God is the same? No matter what your doubts might be, He's there. No matter what your mind might be thinking or being led to go towards, God is there. He's not moved. He's not changed. He's not diminished. He's the same. When you feel like slipping out of His grip, His hand of grace, you feel that, but yet His hand is still there. It's not moved. It's not lessened its grip, its size, its power. There's His hand holding you. Because God is unchangeable, He never stops loving me. He never stops loving me. Once He's decided to love us, He loves us for eternity. He's loved us with an everlasting love. From all of eternity past, in His love, He has predestined us to be adopted as His sons in Christ, Paul says. I can't add to that. I can't take away from that. That's what it is. And if I genuinely trust in Christ, I know that although my love gets greater or lesser, it's His love that is the same. and I only love him, even the smallest, because he's first loved me. He's shown that to us on the cross. God's love is demonstrated upon the cross for us. Where we should have been, there's his Son. Do you believe that? If you do, this God is your God. If you do, you are confident. And you should grow in that confidence. If you have that trust in Jesus Christ, you can rely upon him despite the struggle. If you have Christ, who himself is the same yesterday, today, and forever, despite what you are or won't be yesterday, today, and forever, he is. Let us pray.